to try to do a song tonight, Do You Know My Jesus? And that is the most important question that will ever be asked to an individual, is it not? I want to say this about Sister Mary Jane. We have something in common. First of all, we were born on the same day. No, I didn't say the same year. And our spiritual birthdays are one day apart. And that's kind of unique, isn't it?
And we did not know each other until a year or so ago.
No, we didn't.
I was blessed to get to join the singing seniors, and that's where I got to know my friend.
Y'all know this, help us out, will you?
Beautifully done. Good job. I ask you, myself, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Savior? If you don't, he's available to you tonight. You can come to know him. It's hard to believe that we're in our eighth night of this effort. I don't know where the time's gone by, but this is our eighth night that we try to put effort forward in. I always say I believe in the power of prayer. And the Lord has already answered prayer tonight. He's already answered the prayer tonight. It does my heart good. got to put our faith in him because he's able. He is able to do these things we're in need of. Seek after him with all your heart. If you don't know him, you can, and you just let the Lord have his way with you. Y'all pray for Brother Moran.
Well, I certainly want to join with Brother Lovell in welcoming everyone tonight. We're certainly glad to see each one. We're glad to have the members of the church that are present. And we're also glad to have the visitors who are with us. And we want all of you to feel free and at liberty. Glad to see Brother and Sister Spurgeon, Brother and Sister Young. They're from Faith Church in Nashville. And Brother Spurgeon and I are going to get to hook up in another revival week after next. So we're looking forward to that. Glad to have them here with us tonight. And Brother Bewley, he's from up at Beech Grove where Mabel came from. And his friend, Sister Richie, we're glad to see them. Brother Bewley, he is, I don't really know what his title is, but he has renovated the Morrison Park campground up in Barron County. And it's a beautiful place, and we've had some revivals up there, and other people have as well, but he's doing a good work up there and making available a place for, you know, where we can have community revivals, you know, and get together and churches work together in the interest of lost souls. So we're glad to have them with us again tonight. Our dear friends Paul and Bonnie Elmore are here with us tonight. And they're no strangers here at Fairview Memorial, but we're sure glad to have them. Paul and I have been buddies since 1946. And '47, that was the first year at Austin Tracy, I guess, 1947. And we made a pact a long time ago that he wouldn't tell anything on me if I wouldn't tell anything on him, you know. So we're trying to be true to that pact, you know. But it is indeed good to see the visitors that are with us tonight. Brother and Sister Sailors, they've been here many nights throughout the revival. And Brother and Sister Taylor, they have. And I hope I haven't overlooked anybody, but we're glad to see all of you. Oh, yeah, Brother Reynolds, yes. Brother Reynolds, we're so glad to see you. And I love Brother Reynolds. He's everybody that knows him knows how well-read Brother Reynolds is. And he's a great teacher. And I love him, and we're glad to have him with us tonight. Have enjoyed the revival so far. We've had one saved, one joined the church. We're expecting more. And looking forward to it. I believe we're going to have some more. And I want you to continue to pray and work toward that end. And Brother Buddy's been doing some really good preaching, and we appreciate him and the efforts that he's put forth. And we do desire an interest in your prayers tonight. Feel very weak and very unworthy to even stand before you. And that we need the help of God. So would you please hold us up with your prayers tonight. Before I read my lesson tonight, I want to start by quoting a few verses of Scripture that have been on my heart and mind. And that is an introductory to my subject tonight. And I want you to listen very carefully. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 1, the Bible said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So we know where the heavens and the earth came from. God looked upon them and he said, "This is good." And then God said in verse 27, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And so God created man, male and female, created he them. And he looked upon this and he said, "This is very good. I like this." And then we go a little bit further into the Scriptures. And we read in Psalms chapter 24 where the Bible says, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So this universe, this world, the earth upon which we live, belongs to God. And everything in it belongs to God. And even those of us as individuals that are members of the human family, we are the offspring of God. And I'm going to read that verse of Scripture in just a few minutes where the Apostle Paul said that very thing. We read also in the book of Psalms, chapter 90 and verse 10, where it says that the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, and we're soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, we were not created to live here in this world forever. And our life is of limited duration. And that means all of us, not just some of us, but all of us. And in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible said, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after death, the judgment. So our life's going to end in death, and then we're going to have to face God at the judgment. And we read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 where the Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon it. And it said, there were gathered together before him all men, and they were judged out of the books, and the book of life was there, the Bible said, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, as I try to preach tonight, I hope that you'll remember this little overview of the life of man. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that God gave you life and that we are each one responsible to God. And we will have to give an account unto God. Now, having said those things, I want to turn to the book of Acts. And in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, I want to read beginning at verse 24. This is Paul's view now. And he was speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it is in complete harmony with all the other verses of Scripture that I have mentioned here tonight. And Paul says this. He was at Mars Hill. And Mars Hill was a place in Athens, Greece. And he had the opportunity to preach the gospel. You know, while he was waiting there for Timothy and for some others who were accompanying him on a missionary journey, he beheld the city, and it was wholly given to idolatry. Everywhere he looked, there were idol worshipers. There were images and idols that had been made with men's hands. And people were bowing down and worshiping these idols. And his spirit was stirred within him. And so he mentioned something about Jesus and the resurrection. And some of the people there who spent all of their time in nothing more than hearing or telling some new thing. And when they heard this about Jesus and the resurrection, they had not heard this before. And they said, we would like to hear more about this. And they took him to Mars Hill, and Paul preached a great sermon. And I'm going to begin in the 24th verse, and this is what it said. God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the whole earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God of the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now that's my lesson for tonight, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his own honor and glory. I want to take my title tonight, or my subject title, from the book of Amos, chapter 4 and verse 12. Now the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. If you haven't met God, if you haven't met the Lord Jesus in the forgiveness of sins, my friend, you need to remember that God is your creator. He's the one that gave you life. He's the one that blesses you every day that you live. He gives you health and strength. And he has made a provision for you to be saved. And you need to make that preparation. You know, I'm thinking about a verse of scripture, and I quoted it a while ago, about the days of our years. We just live one day at a time. That scripture didn't say the years of our life, but it said the days of our years. And we just live one day at a time. And the Bible said we're soon cut off. Now, if you live to be 100 years old, it's very short time compared to eternity. We're cut off and we fly away. Now, if you were planning on making a trip, we'll just say to paradise. You know, I think a lot of people refer to Hawaii perhaps as paradise. Well, of course, it's nothing to compare with paradise. But anyway, it is a lovely place. I spent almost 2 years there on the island of Oahu and part of the time on that big island of Hawaii. But it is a beautiful place. But if you were planning on taking a trip to the island of Hawaii, you know, the first thing you would want to do would be secure your flight. You know, you would want to purchase a ticket, and you would want to make sure that you had the provisions made for you to get there. And that's the way it is with the plan of salvation. And God has made provision for us to come to the real paradise. Paul, he referred to a man that he knew, I believe he said some 14 years ago. He was caught up to the third heaven. And there he received revelations that were not lawful for a man to utter. And he said, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, he said. But anyway, he was caught up to paradise. And that's where God dwells, the paradise of God. And so if you want to go to paradise, the real paradise, you need to get your ticket secured. You need to make the preparation that's necessary for you to make that flight. Because one of these days we are going to fly away. I believe Albert Brumley maybe wrote that song. Brother Wayne, am I right, Brother Wayne? That song, and it is one of the most sung songs that's ever been written. And it says, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. And that thrills my soul tonight to think about the time when I'll fly away. I've already got the reservation. I can read from the 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is, where the Bible talks about our inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that is reserved in heaven for us. I have a reservation. It's been secured. It was bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he is the guarantee for my safe arrival. I don't have to worry, because the Lord Jesus became a surety for my sins. He paid the sin debt for me. He purchased my ticket. And he has a place reserved for me. And he's going to see to it that I arrive in paradise safely when this life is over. So God is our creator, isn't he? We didn't just, spring from some lower form of life. God is the one said, let us make man, and let us make him in our image and after our likeness. And so God created man. Male and female created he them. And so we're the offspring of God. And I know that Adam and Eve were created, Adam from the dust and Eve from Adam's rib. But my friend, I'm saying today that God is the one that causes the bones to grow in the womb of her that is with child. And I'm saying tonight, my friend, that God is the one that puts breath in your lungs. When you are delivered from your mother and they cut the umbilical cord and you begin to breathe on your own, I'm saying it was God that gives you that life and gives you that breath. And we need to remember that. And so, the world belongs to God. And I'm glad that it does. I'm glad it does. The 25th verse that I read in your hearing, I want to back up what I'm going to say. I don't think I'm going to preach very long, but I want to back this up. It says in the latter part of that verse, seeing he giveth life to all. You couldn't take another breath if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God. You couldn't do it. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. He giveth to all. Down in verse 28, I want you to listen to it. For in him we live and move and have our being here in this world. Amen. Then he says in verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, the Godhead, is like unto gold or silver, precious stone. We ought not to think, that we came from monkeys, or that we came from some lower form of life, or that we just happened to exist. I tell you, God gave us life. And God gave us life. And that's so very important. Job, in the 33rd chapter of Job, and there's a verse of scripture, I'll have to turn to that one because I can't quote it. But in the 33rd chapter of the book of Job, I want to notice these words that Job uttered. Let me see if I can find it. It's the fourth verse. He said, the Spirit of God hath made me. The Spirit of God made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. God made me, and the breath of the Almighty That's, you know, that's where Adam's life came from. He wasn't nothing but just a lump of clay. His body had been formed out of dust. And it was just as lifeless, no life at all in it, until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. And that's where our life comes from, too. It comes from God. And we owe everything that we have to God. Now listen, in this 27th verse that I read in your hearing, it says this. Well, I may have to read the 26th in order to connect it up. It says that he hath made of one blood all nations of people to dwell upon the face of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It doesn't matter what color skin you've got, you know. It don't matter what country you live in. It don't matter whether you're rich or you're poor. You know, the same blood flows through our veins. Yeah. He made of one blood all nations of men to dwell upon the face of the whole earth. That's what it says. And hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord and feel after him. Now that's not the way it said it. I misquote that nearly every time I try to quote it. So we'll just go back and we'll read it. And that they should seek the Lord if happily. And I think that means if perhaps. If perhaps. You know, God won't make you get saved. He won't force you into salvation. But he does make it available. And it's within reach of everybody. If you're here and lost tonight, salvation is within your reach. Amen. Made possible by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, if happily, if perhaps, they might find him. I believe that God, I don't believe there are any that God will not call. I believe God calls men to repentance. I believe that God has a way of letting people know that there's a higher power. You know, the Bible even talks about how the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. And the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Amen. It doesn't make it everywhere you're at in the world. The sun comes up in the morning and goes down at night. The moon follows it. These are two great lights, the Bible said, that rule the day and the night. God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And following each day, the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. And so on. And he made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And some say, well, I don't believe they were the same kind of days that we have. I do. Amen. I do. I believe the sun's still ruling the day and the moon the night. Amen. And it hadn't changed. But he says here that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him. A seeking the Lord. You know, I don't know how to tell anybody how to seek the Lord other than to call upon his name, to pray to him, to ask him to be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what that one man in the Bible did, wasn't it? He went up to the temple to pray, and he had a burden. I believe that God has a way of letting people know that he's real and he speaks to their heart. And I may not be right in this, but this is what I believe. I believe that when God speaks to your heart, it's more than a feeling. I believe it's more than the feeling. I believe, my friend, it's a revelation. It's a revelation. You're lost. You're separated from me. And if you don't get right with God, you're not going to make it to heaven. It's a revelation. When you get saved and you've prayed through and you've asked God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I started talking about that publican, didn't I? He had a burden. I tell you, the knowledge of being lost and separated from God, it'll give you a burdened heart. And this old boy had a burdened heart, and he went up to the temple to pray. Another fellow was up there too. He is self-righteous. And he was telling God how good he was and what all he'd done. But this old boy that had this burdened heart, he just smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible said this man went home justified rather than the other. He had peace with God when he left there. He took his burden to the Lord and he left it there, didn't he? That's what I believe about it. But anyway, feeling after God. I tell you, when you find God, you'll know it. You know, Jesus asked the disciples one time, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answered for the rest of the disciples, and he said, some say thou art one of the prophets. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say Elias. And Jesus said, well, I want to know who you think I am. And old Peter answered, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you. It wasn't some other man that told Peter who Jesus is. I'm telling you that God spoke to his heart and he revealed to him who Jesus is. And he revealed to him that he was saved. And he had a no-so salvation. And he, my friend, did a lot for the Lord Jesus. Peter followed afar off when they led Jesus down to the high priest's house. Peter followed afar off, but you know what the Bible says? Likewise did also the other disciples. You know why? You know why none of them went with him? They couldn't know one of them help him do what he was about to do. He tasted death for every man. He had to walk that lonely road up Calvary's mountain by himself. He shed his blood so that we could have salvation. And so we talked about feeling after him. I tell you, when you find the Lord, he'll reveal himself to you. He'll give you peace in your heart. It's peace that passeth understanding. I don't know how to explain it. I'm telling you the truth, I don't. But I do enjoy it. I can feel the peace of God. And it's not just a feeling alone. It's a knowledge. It's a knowledge that I have passed from death unto life. It's a knowledge that my sins have been forgiven. It's a knowledge that I'm a child of God. And it's a knowledge that I'm going to heaven when this life is over. Amen. So you have to feel after him. And when you find him, I tell you, you'll know it. You'll know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so God said, now this is not what Brother Moran said. This is not what Missionary Baptist people say, although we do say it. But we say it because Jesus said it. That men should feel, seek the Lord. Men should seek the Lord and should feel after him and should find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that Jesus is close by. He made this promise. He said, where two or three of you are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And he's here tonight. He's here. He's not far from every one of us. Center, he's as close to you tonight. And he wants you to come to know him in the forgiveness of sins. And the reason why, there's a judgment day coming. And none of us are going to avoid it. We're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we're not going to stand at the judgment to find out whether we're saved or not. That's settled when you get saved. That's settled. The judgment will be to determine rewards for the righteous and degrees of punishment for the wicked. Now, that's my position on that, if that makes any difference. But anyway, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I believe that. I believe that. But I believe today that God is a loving and a merciful God. I believe that Jesus longs for sinners to come home. I believe this is his greatest desire. I believe that he welcomes everyone that will come to him. You know what he said, recorded in the book of John? He said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." How do you come to Jesus? Well, you come by faith. You come by faith. Faith's not blind. Faith is based on the Word of God. God's Word said, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I tell you, you just have to come to him, believing in him and trusting him and believing his word and trusting his word that God will do what he said he would do. And if you come to him and you cry out to him from your heart, you don't have to pray out loud, although I've heard lots of sinners pray out loud. But it wasn't their prayer that saved them. It was their faith that saved them. And I don't want to mislead anybody. I'm trying to tell you the truth. It's not coming up to the mourner's bench that saves you. It's faith that saves you. I believe in seeking the Lord. I believe in providing a place for people to pray. Saints and sinners, we all need to pray, don't we? And our churches need to provide a place where people can bow before God and call on his name. I've seen a lot of people get saved around the altars of our churches. And I'm thankful for every one of them. But I guess there's been just as many that have come in and said, "I got saved at home," or "I got saved at work." Or one man told me that I was on my way home from church and I had a flat tire and I got out to fix the tire. And I was so burdened, I just began to pray. And right there beside the road, the Lord saved me. He's everywhere, isn't he? Amen. He's everywhere. So my message tonight, I don't know if I've stuck with my text or not. Maybe I did and maybe I didn't. But prepare to meet thy God. Thy God, the one that gave you life. The one that's been so good to you. The one that's let you come to the Fairview Memorial tonight to hear the Word of God. You know why he's done all that? It's out of love. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." And I tell you, you may have come in tonight an alien sinner, separated from God by your sins, but you can go home a saint, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Will you come to him tonight? God's made it possible for you to come to him, and he begs you to come. Will you come while we stand and sing a song? Don't let anything stand between you and getting right with God. Nothing worth it. Nothing worth it. Let us stand and sing.